The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is... Please note, the new number is...
Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. Weekly tips on marketing and building your profitable online business from copyblogger.com. Hello, IMFSP listeners, wherever and whenever you are right now. Let's get into episode number 3, how to get some action. My name is Robert Bruce, and I'm here with Copyblogger Media's founder and CEO, Brian Clark. So, Brian, you spoke last week at PubCon in Las Vegas under the influence of NyQuil, and you promised us a few lurid tales of the days there. So tell us about it.
Well, you know that NyQuil. It's replaced the Red Bull and vodka as the drink of choice. No, actually, if I have any lurid tales, I actually do, but I think they were pure hallucinations because I got there the night before. I stayed in my hotel room, tried to rest. Then I did a 9:30 keynote panel and a 1:30 session. And I even dragged Chris Brogan unannounced to the 1:30 so I wouldn't have to talk as long. It was fairly miserable.
That sounds miserable. And you're still kind of struggling with it, aren't you? You got a little, the cold still going on.
Definitely getting better. I don't feel bad, but I've got that residual stuff. So anyway, I've got the sexy radio voice.
Yeah, right. No, that's working. That's working for you really well. All right, so let's get into things here. Can you give us a quick overview of what you talked about at PubCon?
What did we talk about? We talked about social media in the keynote panel with Brogan and Scott Stratton and Sarah Evans. And then at 1:30, I did an overview of a content marketing strategy for bloggers.
Okay, so a little bit about what we're going to be getting into today. To start off, we're going to be talking about direct marketing specifically, and a little bit into, as it relates to copywriting as well, and a little bit into content marketing today. Can you give us a brief definition of and maybe contrast the major differences between direct response and brand marketing?
Right. Okay. So brand marketing is probably the easiest categorized as the things you see on television most often. Coca-Cola commercials, they're not doing anything except basically making you feel good about a corporate logo and sugar sweetened water that can erode your battery.
but it's fine for your esophagus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. But, you know, brand advertising can work. It takes millions and millions, if not billions over time of money through mass media to just put yourself in someone's head in such an emotional way that they almost subconsciously, you know, choose you, right? But, you know, a lot of what people choose commodity items based on is just awareness. You know, if a consumer has a better idea of you by association or just basic exposure, there's just a better chance they're going to pick you in a choice with someone, another product, another brand, whatever. So brand advertising can work. It's not, in my opinion, the smartest use of all those millions of dollars. But for a small business person, even a mid-sized business, it will absolutely crush you. And they generally don't, those size businesses don't really have the money to get the best creative talent anyway. So it's just a bad idea for almost all the businesses in the United States, which are the small to medium-sized businesses. Then you've got direct marketing, okay? Direct marketing, instead of using mass media, essentially goes to the people without being invited. So this is the epitome of interruption marketing. Direct mail, you didn't ask for it, it just shows up in your mailbox because they know your address, right? Mm-hmm. Telemarketing, they know your phone number, they call you during dinner. Cold calling, even business to business cold calling, the old smile and dial approach. You're interrupting someone by going straight to them without them raising their hand and saying, I want to communicate with you. And then finally, in contrast to both of those two, is direct response marketing, which is like direct marketing in the sense that it's direct and it depends on some form of action being taken, as opposed to brand advertising that doesn't ask for any kind of action. But the difference with direct response is that you ask people to contact you, to respond to you, to raise their hand and say, sure, I'll talk to you, or I'll take your information in the mail, or you can email me. It's basically Seth Godin's permission marketing was built offline direct response marketing applied specifically to email. Not everyone knows that Seth's company, Yoyodyne, which was acquired by Yahoo, and I believe 99 and made Seth a very wealthy man, was a direct response email firm that understood that you don't buy list online and you don't just send people email. You get them to say, yes, please send me email, which was the whole concept of permission marketing. So those are really the three differences here. And the internet, as Seth knew way back then, and we really know now, is a direct response channel. Everything else is spam if you don't have permission, you know, if people aren't expecting to hear from you one way or another.
Can you give us any other examples of how this might look?
Okay, so online direct response. I did a post last week called Three Steps to Foolish Online Advertising, and I used The Motley Fool, which is a financial services company, been around for a long time, started out on AOL way back in the day, as an example. And it was a three-step process based on successive responses, voluntary responses from the people the Motley Fool is trying to reach. So in this case, they had a third-party advertisement. It appeared on Yahoo. It was a banner ad, but it looked like content. It was text. It was a headline and some teaser copy and a call to action. And that action that they wanted you to take there was just a click. Just click here and you're going to find out more about what we're talking about. Where you go after that click is a landing page. And that landing page kind of reiterated a promise to give you something, in this case, a report on certain stock ideas related to change in technology. And there, the action they wanted you to take was to opt in, to provide an email address, to say, you know, to give us an email address and we'll give you this report. And then the third step, they deliver the report. It's got solid content. It's educational. It's what they promised. And yet that educational process naturally kind of supports you wanting more and them willing to give you more. But this time it costs money, and that's the third response they want, which is a purchase. So that's an example, and you can go back to that post from last week, Three Steps to Foolish Online Advertising. That's classic direct response advertising.
Okay, direct response copywriting then is used to trigger, like you were saying, a very specific response from readers. You want them to do something, very clearly want them to do something specific. What are the basic elements of direct response copywriting?
Right. So you're exactly right with you're trying to trigger a very specific response. So at its essence, direct response is you're making some kind of offer, right? If someone is going to respond to you in the way that you would like, you have to give them something, correct? You know, I mean, that's just the way humans work, especially in our attention-starved day and age, and with all the clutter online, et cetera. So it's basically you're making some kind of offer. If you do this, we'll do this for you in return. And then that also works vice versa sometimes, especially in content marketing, which we'll get to later, which is we've done this for you. Will you now do this? Which is a very interesting psychological aspect of this. So, okay, so you're generally making some kind of offer. There's really four elements here. Attention, number one. If they don't pay attention to you, if they're not aware of you, you do not get started. There can be no response. Two, you have to provide some sort of information that communicates the benefit or the promise of the offer, which is if you do this, we'll do this in return, right? And it has to be highly targeted to something that they would be interested in. Third, you need a call to action. which is an explicit request to do the thing that you want them to do in exchange for what it is you're going to give them. And the fourth element is just a way to do that, a response mechanism. Click here, put in your email address, pull out your wallet, and send us your credit card information. You have to have a way for them to respond in the way that accomplishes the goals you're after.
All right, we're going to get into each of those more as we go on with this radio show. We don't have time to really dig down into each of them today, but we'll definitely get back into this as we move on with it. But what's the relationship then between creating this content that, you know, creates attention and direct response copywriting?
Right. Okay. So let's go back to the Motley Fool example. And I kind of closed that post with this, which is instead of advertising on a third-party site, take that out of it. Don't spend any money on advertising. Your day-to-day content, your magazine quality, or, you know, if it's audio, if it's video, valuable content is your advertising. Not in the sense that you're trying to sell your stuff with it directly, but in the sense that you're attracting attention, right? You are getting people to become aware of you, and you're getting people to pay attention to you over time. And you're doing all this other stuff that great advertising has to do in one quick shot. But you don't. You do it over time. And it's not only more effective, it's free, other than, of course, the time it takes or the money it takes for you to pay someone to create the content. But, you know, keep in mind, when you're doing that work, you're also building a media asset. Like we talked about before, it's not money down the drain. It's not pure ROI. You get paid on the return on each person that kind of travels with you on the way to the sale. And then that content will always be there to keep working for you. So it's an extremely powerful long-term marketing strategy that also just happens to be pretty much the way you have to do it online.
And specifically with online, I mean, this ties back into trust and authority as well. I mean, trust big time. If you're talking to somebody, they give you the permission to talk to them over time, over a long period of time, as opposed to, you know, the direct marketing example of it hopefully slamming it home in one shot, or the brand advertising example of, you know, the Mad Men idea, the huge, huge ad spend for a highly creative and maybe questionably useful ad. I mean, this idea of content over time coming to your readers and listeners and building has a lot to do with that trust and authority, right? I mean, maybe the only way, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's not the only way, but it's interesting because, as you know, David Ogilvy was, you know, he was at heart a direct response guy. You even see those themes running through Mad Men, when the account guys are just about media spends and repetition, and Draper's like, no, you actually have to sell them something. And, you know, there's got to be a connection between, you know, the campaign and the emotional connection that leads to someone reaching for their wallet. It's really a fascinating show to watch if you're kind of well steeped in this stuff and where we are today and how we're kind of coming full circle online. But you make a good point. Okay, so with content, now these are not sales letters. These are not pitches. You know, this is content that has independent value to the people you're trying to reach, that the people you're trying to establish that relationship with that we talked about last week. But the direct response fundamentals are baked in at every level. Number one, you're giving away any kind of content to attract attention. It's got to be not just valuable, but it's got to be compelling. And that usually, I don't care if it's a written article or a video or it's a podcast, it's the title, right? That's what communicates whether or not this is something I want to invest my valuable time in. And what's a title? A title is a headline. The headline is the starting point, has always been, of great advertising, but specifically direct response advertising. Because if people don't pay attention and digest your message, It might as well not be there. It just doesn't matter. You've lost that person. And you do lose a lot of people. But the better your title or headline is for your content, no matter what its format, the more exposure that content's going to get, not only to people who are paying attention to you already, but with social media, as we'll talk about in a little bit, the more it will spread. And that's really the power of content marketing. You're not only not making kind of bad advertising spends with third parties, and you're not only building your own media asset that has independent value itself, what you're doing is using so far the greatest referral engine on the planet. It's an interconnected global network of people who can spread the message about you lightning fast and at absolutely no cost. So
have I heard you say in some place or another that headlines are the most important thing, most important element of all of this?
They have to be. They can't stand on their own because they're only a gate. You know, they're the introduction. The way people like to talk about this in copywriting circles is the headline's job is to get the first sentence read, right? And second sentence from there, you know, on down the line. Because, again, what you want is a response. The call to action or the request for response is generally at the end or, in many cases, interspersed amongst the informational aspect of whatever it is you're doing. So if they don't make it down to there, there can be no response. And with that person, you have failed. And again, while it's not as hard and cold as a numbers game in the traditional sense, the more number of people you connect with, the better you're going to do. It's just common sense.
All right. And we got to watch our time here, but I just wanted to ask you, we're not talking about, I mean, when you talk about copywriting and even a word itself, like headline, you know, you can tend to think that we're talking about very clinical, calculated, manipulative types of writing, but it's really not the case. I mean, you made the point, you're talking about very good content is what this boils down to, but you can see examples of this in fiction, in literature as well, right? I mean, we're just talking about good writing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I once did a post called The Catcher in the Rye and the Art of Phony Marketing, where I talked about the reclusive J.D. Salinger. It makes me look like a socialite. but yeah, I mean, the way he wrote the story of Holden Caulfield was what made it compelling. You know, did he want to hold your attention? Did he want to touch you emotionally? Did he, you know, the great American novel is the greatest sales letter ever written. You know, I mean, because it connects with people. They read every word, they treasure it for life. And, you know, he sold a lot of books. So, yeah, no, it's the same thing. It's just a spectrum of desired goals. And, you know, a lot of people tend to say that's that and this is this. But I've always, as you know, it's a continuum. It's a holistic thing. It's about connecting with people with words. And just because there are different goals doesn't mean it's completely alien from one format to another. Now, let me give you this. Okay. So if you had to have the one shot, like Sonia's harpoon versus the net of content marketing.
Yeah.
You know, everything you have to accomplish is the same. You just have to do it within a very brief context. And it really boils down to these same six fundamentals of influence that we talk about all the time. Robert Cialdini, okay? Authority, liking, commitment and consistency, social proof, reciprocity, and scarcity. Those are the six things that drive us to do things, to respond, right? So everything you do, whether with content or with a sales page, has to invoke one or more, as many as possible, of those things in order to get the highest number of people to respond. But with content, what you're doing, you're giving them valuable information over time, and it's establishing those things for you in a very non-pressure situation, a very trusted situation, as you mentioned before. You're establishing yourself as an authority on your subject matter. People like you because you're speaking to them like a human being and adding value to their life. They made a commitment to pay attention to you over time. That's a very powerful psychological force when it comes to perhaps buying from you as opposed to buying from someone else, right? That whole liking and commitment thing is very powerful. Social proof, one of the key things. Now, okay, we talk about response with content. The two things you always want, you focus relentlessly on links and subscribers. Links bring you traffic directly and later from search engines, because that's how, for the most part, if you have links, you're more trusted and authoritative with Google as well as with people. And but you, all that, that's traffic, okay, from different sources thanks to links. But what you're trying to do is convert that traffic into subscribers, people who respond to you and pay attention to you over time via some mechanism, email, RSS, Twitter, whatever you can get. So the one of the other major influence factors at social proof is, again, completely response oriented. It's, you know, if a blog post has a bunch of comments, people assume it's good or at least interesting or something, right? They're going to give it a shot. So, you know, prompting people to leave comments is a powerful direct response mechanism. Asking people to subscribe instead of hoping that they will. There's also ways you can do that with where you position an opt-in form and all that kind of thing. But the number of people who subscribe to your blog tends to increase the number of people who subscribe to your blog. And it doesn't have to be a blog, but you know what I'm saying. And then, of course, the most powerful social proof of all is when other people tell people to go check your stuff out, or that you're great, or that they love you, you know, with because of your content. That's social proof. That's my friend said you're great instead of you telling me you're great. You're probably, there's a better chance that you're great, yeah. Right? That's the highest form of social proof. And then remember when I said earlier about the whole, you know, you're making an offer where if you do this, we'll give you that. But sometimes it's, we've done this, will you do this for us? That's reciprocity. And it's, again, one of the most powerful psychological influences we have. You go back to the old story about the professor who did an experiment. He sent out a bunch of Christmas cards to people he didn't know, and like 73% of them sent him a card back. They didn't know him any more than they knew him, but they're like, oh my God, this person sent us a card. We better send them one too. I don't understand. It, you know, it's baked into us and it's the foundation of civilization. I mean, society wouldn't work without these evolved characteristics that we have to respond in like kind to gestures towards us. So you're giving away content for free. It should be content that's valuable enough that you could sell, at least in the old days. And people are going to feel like, hey, if he asked me to retweet his article or, you know, bookmark it, I'm going to do that because it's good anyway, right? And that's the other thing beyond reciprocity is that in social media, there's status given to people who share cool stuff. If you're producing cool stuff, people are going to share it. So that's the ultimate response that leads to links and subscribers, which is social media distribution, people voluntarily sharing your stuff. On Copyblogger in the early days, we explicitly asked for everything. Please dig this post. Please bookmark this at Delicious. You know, please do this. Now we have a very savvy, large audience. So having the retweet button there, you know, people know what to do. It's like a request. I bet we could do better if we actually asked for it.
Like if we asked for people to, for instance, retweet this radio show.
Exactly. You'd have to code that up, but
theoretically.
Yeah. No, I mean, no, it's not theoretical at all. You know? It really isn't. I'm just the fact that we don't do that anymore shows that, well, on one hand, we've established ourselves, but yet, you know, you can get a little lackadaisical, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So next week, we're going to turn the corner and get into the first of several discussions about the absolute importance of content marketing. We're going to extend this conversation on content marketing. And this is really cool because it's exactly how Copyblogger Media was built, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I've kind of given you an overview of what you're trying to achieve, response, and what kinds of response and why, which is to get people to pay attention over time so that when you do make a relevant offer, it's greeted with open arms or at least, you know, willing to give you the benefit of the doubt and read or listen to or watch what you have to offer. I mean, that is so much of the battle. If you're selling a great product, just getting people to give you a shot is 85% of it, which we talked about. They trust you. They know. They think you know what you're talking about. They have this relationship with you. They know other people are like them, are paying attention to you. That's very powerful. That really gets you most of the way. So, yeah, that's exactly how our entire business has been built. You know, we did it in one of the toughest markets there is by literally being transparent and demonstrating what we're telling you to do by doing it to you and not being afraid of that. Because there are some people who learn by listening to what you say, and then there's other people who learn by watching what you do. And I know a lot of people who've just watched what we did, especially during the early years, and they're like, I got it. See ya. Yeah. And I was happy. I mean, because a lot of those people have remained my friends, you know. So I think we're going to have Sonia show up next week.
Really?
Yeah. You know, let her talk about content marketing, making that emotional connection with your readership, establishing that trust, et cetera. If for some reason she's busy, you'll be stuck with me again. But you know, she's much nicer than I am. You know, she's got the pink hair and, you know,
yeah, I do.
She's the sweet one. I'm the cranky, reclusive one. And right. no one likes that.
Got to drag you out of the cave every week. Yeah. If folks want more of this stuff and in a different format as well, a place where they can read it, where can they go to pick this up?
Right. So, of course, this radio show, as always, is named after this 20-part course that we've got that's delivered by email. One of the really cool parts of the Internet Marketing for Smart People course is, I think there's three sections devoted where Sonia literally teaches you how to write a direct response sales page. And it's really cool the way she does it because she takes, you know, what I think our audience would call a scammy, hypey yellow highlighter piece. Mm. And then she shows you how to write it in a way that won't make you vomit. You know, and it's really just about who's your audience. I mean, some audiences respond to that hypey yellow stuff. A lot of them don't, though, and ours doesn't. And a lot of people online are very wary of that stuff. So, but what she does is demonstrate that you're doing the same thing in both, and yet one looks like a thoughtful, generous offer, and one looks like you're screaming through a megaphone, depending on your sensibilities. But I think it's highly instructive because it shows that it's all about context. And I say this all the time. It's, you know, the strategies, the tactics are generally kind of the same, but it's just the context in which you employ them. And of course, don't be a lying scumbag, which some people kind of cross that line, but I think you guys know we don't advocate being a lying scumbag. So anyway, that's worth the price of admission, which is free. Anyway, check that out. Yeah. And also next week we'll get Sonia in here and we've got some really cool special guests. I've got two surprises lined up for December, Robert.
Really?
Yeah, I know. But the show's a hit. People want to be on it now.
When were you going to tell me about those special guests?
I just did.
Oh, right. Yeah, cool. Okay. We're going to have a link to, if you do want to sign up for the Internet Marketing for Smart People 20-part course, we'll have a link to that in this post, of course. And thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have questions about direct marketing and copywriting, be sure to get over to copyblogger.com and leave a note in the comments for this post. And you are, of course, more than welcome to retweet this this radio show if you liked it. Okay, Brian, let's get this one.
You're a quick learner, Robert.
I'm trying. And it's not theoretical. Did you note that?
I would hope not.
Let's get this one in the can, and I'll see you. Wait, no. I'll see Sonia next week.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, right. Okay, man. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. Weekly tips on marketing and building your profitable online business. From copyblogger.com.